Good afternoon, everybody. This is Logan Sandor with the Toe Meets Leather podcast. I'm here again with Team Talk. I've got a special guest today, Eric Wargo, and we're going to cover his school, Florida State. How are you doing today, Eric?
I'm doing fine, doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, it's always a good day when we're talking football. So why don't you give us a little background to your involvement with FSU?
Well, I went to Florida State for my bachelor's and my master's. I graduated in 2012 and 2014. I grew up a Seminole, with my mom also being a Seminole, graduated from there. My brother's currently there, going to school, graduates next year. And my sister also graduated with her bachelor's and master's from Florida State. So I come from a Florida State family.
I can tell. Oh, my gosh. Have y'all all lived in Tallahassee for that period?
We all lived in Tallahassee during that time. Obviously we were going to school, but not as a family. We all grew up down in South Florida.
Okay, so out of curiosity, since you've been there for the Bobby Bowden period and the Jimbo Fisher period, I'm going to go a little off script and ask you, which of those two do you think has been the better coach overall?
Bobby Bowden, obviously, you're going to have to go that route. I don't think any Florida State fan would be able to say Jimbo Fisher is a better coach than Bobby Bowden. Just yet, I think, you know, he could possibly become a better coach throughout his tenure at Florida State. I would really like to see him, retire as a Seminole. I know it's really kind of unrealistic in today's college football landscape, but you're taking a legendary coach, however you want to look at it, if you want to say he has the most wins or not, depending on the, you know, the Joe Pa issue and giving him his wins or not. But you're looking at Bobby Bowden, who took a team, I think it was like 14 straight years of Florida State in the top four, top five. You can't really beat that in two national championships, two Heisman. Jimbo's certainly on his way, but I wouldn't necessarily crown him the better coach than Bobby Bowden just yet.
Yeah, I was actually looking over both their records. Currently, Jimbo has a better winning percentage, but it's hard to compare anyone with a legend like Bobby Bowden. Topics, let's get back to what we're here for. So you and your family have been around Tallahassee for a long time. Why don't you give us a little information about what it's like to be there? What's fun to go see when you're in Tallahassee, other than the pretty women?
there's a ton of pretty women. Pretty women, I'll give my mom and my sister that compliment from you. Tallahassee, it's kind of a mix of an urban school, and then you have your suburban and your southern atmosphere the farther west you go in Tallahassee. You can always go to Tom Brown Park or something. I used to do when I was in Tallahassee. And, America's Best Park in like 2007 or something like that. It's one of those huge parks that has like a, you know, BMX ramps and stuff like that, dog parks, frisbee golf, and they have all types of events that are always out there. Then you have your typical college life, which is going to all the bars, and when you're a freshman, you always have to make sure you go to the strip for your birthday, get those traditions in.
Say that again. Which restaurant?
As a college freshman, you got to make sure you always celebrate your birthday at the strip. That's the first you really do your first night out. And away from the parents.
I think that's a Florida tradition. Yeah, they've got plenty of those down there. But yeah, it sounds like it's got a good balance of the family-oriented fun and the college experience, as I like to call it. Now, I know you joined a fraternity. Do you think that added to your college experience at Tallahassee?
I was with ZBT while I was there. I think it definitely added to the experience. I would definitely encourage it as far as joining a Greek organization. It definitely opens up a lot of opportunities, not only in college, but outside of college as well. It did add to the experience. Not like it would take take away, or you'd have less of an experience if you weren't involved in Greek life. But it does keep you busy and does introduce you to other aspects of the university as well.
Now, for people who are not familiar with the campus, maybe tailgaters coming in from a different school, do you have any recommendations on where to park? I know at Georgia Tech, that's kind of a big question since there really isn't anywhere to park. But I feel like since y'all are in the suburb, kind of suburban area, it might be a little easier for you.
Well, yes, this is similar to like the old OB, the old the Orange Bowl at Miami, where you can park anywhere around the Little Havana. You kind of have a mixture. You can park in people's yards. They range anywhere from $10-$15 to $25-$30 to park in their lawn, depending on how close you want to get to the stadium. You could always park in Heritage Grove, which is where a lot of the Greek the fraternities rather. I never really had the trouble with the parking thing because we did have the house in Heritage Grove. There's parking really all around the stadium, ranging from around $15 to $20-$30, depending on how close you want to get.
So you're never really going to run into that issue unless you upset somebody or you're a rival fan, I suppose.
I've never really seen anything, happen to anyone's car as far as rivals are concerned. The only thing I have seen, and it was self-inflicted really, I guess Florida State fans getting a little rowdy, and this was at an Indian Village, which was one of the more a neighborhood directly across from Doak. I actually lived in for a few months. That's really famous for tailgating. I think it's more regulated now because it did get out of hand. I know during the Oklahoma game in 2010, I want to say, when they came to town, they were ranked one overall. We were ranked fifth. Got a little rowdy, and I think someone's Jeep got just absolutely destroyed. You can find that clip on YouTube. But I've never actually heard anything about people's cars getting vandalized or people paying more for, parking or anything like that.
Well, it's a very good community that you've got around Florida State, and I think some very dedicated fans. That said, it's a very respectful fan base. They care a lot about their team, but they understand that a lot of other teams out there are working hard. Like you said, I think Oklahoma and FSU have clashed a lot recently, and they've actually got a positive rapport with each other, it seems.
Definitely. I didn't go to the away portion of that at Oklahoma. I think that was 2009. But I heard positive things about their fan base there. I know when they did come into town, there was a really nice fan base. We had a great time. They actually sold out every hotel within a 150-mile radius of Tallahassee. That was one of the most electric environments I've seen during my time there. Was that game. I've never seen a fan base, our fan base, get that loud, but their fan base travels so well. Now, we do always play Miami. Miami always travels pretty well to Florida, to Tallahassee, as well as the Gators. But, as far as someone traveling that far from Oklahoma all the way to Tallahassee, that is definitely a dedicated fan base there.
Well, you brought up the rival component that I was going to touch on, so let's just go ahead and dig right in. So Miami and Florida, obviously the two big rivals, and I didn't know this, they're the only two teams that I see in recent history that FSU has a losing record against. Miami just barely with like two games. Florida, yeah. I think they had a big stint in the 90s where they were doing really well. But for the most part, FSU is really dominant. Now, I know the Miami fan base can be very overbearing, and I know you're from that area. What's it like traveling back and forth?
If I had to pick a fan base, if I had to go to one of the away games, either Gainesville or Miami, I'd probably pick to go to Gainesville just because of the fan base. The University of Miami, they do have it seems like dedicated fans when it comes to our rivalry with them. It does get a little bit rowdier when they come to town, I will say that. I mean, I remember last time, 2 years ago, when we were playing down in Miami, we were getting beers thrown at us and poured on us because we came back and won, I think, with like 3 minutes left. it definitely intensified the situation, though, because the way the recruiting is, we're dragging kids out of, you know, this area that they deem South Florida from Tampa down. And yeah, everyone has played football with each other. I mean, you even have to think about Dalvin Cook coming out of Miami Central. that's a big recruiting loss for them as well, obviously being a Heisman contender this year and possibly next year. But as far as the fan bases are concerned, the Miami rivalry is definitely a little rowdier than the UF one.
Well, and you brought up an interesting point that I've talked with a lot of Miami fans about. Every school was looking to recruit that area. It's such a hotbed of recruiting talent. And I will say this, though. I think you've recently started recruiting kickers very highly, and it seems to me that that is purely because of the Miami game on your schedule. Because it seems like for a couple of years there, it always came down to who was going to miss a field goal, and that's who ended up losing the game.
Okay, we don't talk about it. recently we haven't had to worry about that. We have
Robert Aguayo.
Roberto Aguayo, who actually won the fast kick portion contest of the All-Star competition for college football last night. And Jalen Ramsey won best hands, I think it was, last night as well. So shout out to them. But we haven't really had to worry about that, having some pretty good kickers, starting with, Graham Gano was, three kickers back, and then Dustin Hopkins, who hit a 55-yard game-winning field goal against Clemson in 2011, and then, Roberto Aguayo, and now we have Ricky Aguayo, his little brother, coming in, hopefully can continue the tradition. As far as kickers are concerned, I mean, if you're looking at Roberto Aguayo getting drafted this upcoming draft, Florida State has the possibility of having four kickers starting in the NFL with Sebastian Janikowski in there.
It's clearly been a focus for them, which I've always thought is a big emphasis coming from Georgia Tech, where we'll lose like 9 points a game because we keep missing field goals. You know, that makes a big difference down the line.
It does. It definitely does. Especially, when your kicker can make, in college, anything above like a 50-yard field goal, which is what we've had recently. It definitely helps out. Even you bring up the Georgia Tech portion of this, but, even in this last season, field goals have seemed to bite us pretty hard in the backside, especially against the Georgia Tech game.
Well, that's one of those things. I've never liked going for field goals if I had the option, but, sometimes you got to leave it up to fate. If you got to leave it up to fate, though, I'd say Aguayo was the kind of guy you wanted to be in the feet of. I'm not really sure how to phrase that. I'll come back to Florida, but I want to talk about another, I guess you could call them rival. I'm not sure what your stance on them is. The past few years, the ACC has pretty much just come down to who wins the FSU-Clemson game. Now, obviously you had their number last year. This year they came back strong, fought hard. These are two very talented teams. Do you think there's any other team that could challenge the ACC, or is it just going to be FSU and Clemson for the next few years?
You'd like to see UNC, hopefully get up there to where they can, challenge Florida State and Clemson. It looks like the road to the ACC championship is gonna come through Clemson or Florida State. I really don't see anyone challenging us immediately, just, I mean, if you, you know, UNC, yes. However, I mean, you're looking at the possibility of Florida State and Clemson both being in the top five when it comes down to October 29th when we play. And still, you look at it, the winner of that game, you have to say, is going to be the ACC champion. It's kind of like, you know, if you want to make an analogy to the NBA, I mean, you're looking at the Spurs and Golden State right now, and there's, you know, unfortunately they're both playing in the West, but, you know, it's going to probably come down to whoever wins that in the Western Conference Finals, being the champion of the NBA. And it's a similar situation with, you know, the ACC, how the ACC is set up right now with Clemson and Florida State.
Well, and something I noticed from Florida State's side, again, I was looking at the records. I didn't mean to make it sound bad before, but going back to it, I looked over the records. Florida State has a winning record, I think, over the past 20 years against every opponent in the ACC, aside from Pitt and Miami, which is insane to me. That just shows a kind of consistency that you don't see out of teams in the ACC. You know, that's...
Yeah. Yeah, you're cutting out a little bit. Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Miami one, you have to look back at those years, specifically, you know, the 80s, the late 80s, early 90s, that Miami was just so dominant. I think, you know, with Mark Richt coming to Coral Gables down in Miami, the rivalry could intensify a little bit more and mean a little something more. But I do think we're going to probably even it up pretty soon. I think with like two more years, we're going to break the five. We're going to hit the 500 mark as far as winning records are concerned. The winning the records are concerned. But you know, Mark Richt will definitely help them and probably start that competing a little bit more in that rivalry, because we have beaten them the past, oh god, like five out of the last six times or six times. I can't even tell at this point.
Dude, just keep beating them. I don't even care about Miami. I just want to see Mark Richt lose, okay? I'm sick that we still have to play him.
You know, I mean, he was at Florida State. I don't mind him losing either. But, you know, I guess it would just be a little bit more sweeter if we beat him when I got Miami. You know, but like I said before, you know, the Florida one always makes Thanksgiving and an interesting an interesting dinner, but the Miami rivalry, since I'm from down here, is definitely sweeter and means a lot more to me if we can come away with a W and I can wear my Florida State gear to outside down here in South Florida.
Well, and again, I think it comes down to what I was touching on before, the consistency. Like, who else do they lose to on the schedule? There's pretty much Clemson, and you could argue that Florida might be a struggle, but they sure weren't this year.
I mean, if we're looking at the schedule, if it's the ACC, I mean, I'm a little weary about going into Louisville playing the Cardinals. That one might be an iffy game. We do have UNC at home this year. I think being at home is going to help a lot.
Well, and they lost their.
I'm sorry.
And they lost their quarterback, so I'm not sure exactly what to think of them this year.
Yeah. But if we're going to go outside the ACC, you have to look at our schedule and think, you know, the first game we're playing Ole Miss. And, you know, Chad Kelly is a heck of a quarterback. He is definitely going to test our defense. I know we have some great secondary, but it'll definitely be a test for our defense. I think we can definitely walk away with a W, especially being in Orlando. That's going to help us a lot. And then the fact that Sean McGuire is out for the spring game, and we will be playing that in Orlando, so we will kind of have a little familiarity with the stadium and the turf there. With DeAndre Francois playing most of the snaps for the spring game, that will help us out too. But Ole Miss will definitely be a challenge to start the season.
It'll be interesting to see. I want to see Dalvin Cook try and run on their defense. And, yeah, like you said, see how the defense stands up. Because if they can hold Ole Miss to maybe two or three touchdowns, you're going to have a great defense all year. But you're probably going to win that game handily.
Yeah, Yeah. I would hope so. But after that, you know, we get a little bit of break with Charleston Southern. Then we go to Louisville and play at USF. I think that's one of the big things about our schedule that I'm really thankful for is that we have three of our away games in the state of Florida this year, conveniently at Miami, at USF, and then the Orlando one for Labor Day against Ole Miss. So as far as traveling is concerned, we should essentially have 9 home games on our schedule, which should help.
Yeah, that's going to be glorious, having so many games in the state of Florida. Speaking of, we have the other rival that we kind of skimmed over last time, UF. So you told me about Miami, their attitude, their, let's politely say, edginess. What about the UF rivalry? How do you consider them as rivals?
Well, there's definitely, I feel, a lot more respect between the two fan bases because there has been a lot more winning between the two schools within the last, I guess you could say decade, actually, yeah, because they won their first championship in 06, or their second one in 06 during that string with Tebow. And I mean, like I said, I'd much rather go into Gainesville and wear my garnet and gold. I actually lived in Gainesville for 3 months. It was a lot easier doing that there. The fan bases, when you look at it, they're used to winning. And the only real thing that, you know, can kind of get underneath your skin a little bit is the bragging rights of being in the SEC for the Gators. But it's always nice beating them, especially them being an SEC team and bragging as far as the bragging rights is concerned.
Yeah, that's been a big factor the past few years, especially after they set up the SEC network. Now you see that prime time at the end of the year where they mark up, oh, how many wins did the ACC have over the SEC, yada, yada, yada. So that's become a big factor nowadays. I'm really hoping you can take it to Florida for the next couple of years, but it's going to be interesting. Like you said, both your rivals have new coaches, and you're just going to have to see how the recruiting and how their schemes pan out for the next couple of years. I know Florida did well this year, but it didn't really tell us much about the program. What do you think about how Florida did this year?
As far as recruiting, you know, I think they definitely could have been better. I know they lost out on a lot of players flipping on NSD, on National Signing Day. I know we flipped two of them. I know one flipped, I think to Alabama. And, you know, I think they did actually flip a receiver from Houston, which is good. But they recently announced the move of Trayon Harris to receiver. I think that was needed, but they need to solidify something at quarterback. They have not been able to run a consistent offense at the University of Florida since Tebow left, and I think that's, I mean, obviously the majority of their problem. Their defense has been outstanding, you know, even this year or last year, the last couple of years. But they need to get that offense moving. They need to find something at quarterback to solidify the offense and lead the offense because they have had absolutely nothing. And, you know, you look at it, I think they're averaging like 225 yards 2 years ago. I don't know what they're averaging this year, but for them, the University of Florida at home to have FAU take them into overtime is just completely, you know, unacceptable. As a program, I know they probably feel the same way. And for Georgia Southern to come in 2 years, 3 seasons ago, and beat them at home without throwing a pass, and having on his 400 something rush yards, is, you know, you can't have that as a program rich in history as the University of Florida.
Yeah, that is exactly the kind of stuff that gets coaches fired. And as far as the Georgia Southern game did, I think it might have played a factor in that. Anyway, let's talk about your recruiting class. It actually looks pretty solid. I think 24/7 recruiting has got them ranked at 8 currently. So you've obviously got a lot of new guys coming in, a lot of talent. Rather, tell us about the recruiting class, but also I'm kind of curious, for a big time program like you, is it something that you get excited about when you see that the recruiting class is that talented, or is it more of an expectation now to have a recruiting class with that much talent? Because I see Florida State consistently in the top 10 or top 5 recruiting classes in the nation.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I'm always excited to see us doing well. We do have to continue. I mean, that's where it all begins, is the recruiting wars. We win these recruiting battles, like I mentioned, against Florida. And it, you know, it's the foundation to our success. I would say, yeah, it is an expectation now, but I do still get excited about it. I saw some graphic, I believe it was on ESPN, that it was like 2010, 2011, 2012, and 2014, 2015. I think Florida State and Alabama finished 1-2 each of those years. And you can see that, you know, with the amount of, you know, the wins, the championships, the national championships, and what we've established as, you know, now I want to say perennial powerhouse, and you know, the expectation of always being in the running for the BCS championship and now for the playoffs. But you know, yes, we do. I still do get excited for the recruiting. I think one of the things that kind of sets us aside from other programs is you see that our program, our coaches do not use a lot of social media. We don't. I think it was each coach has less than 6 tweets, you know, on Twitter, and I think that kind of sets us apart. The business-like atmosphere that Jimbo carries to the program, and it carries on. You've seen that, you know, with last year, everyone knows the stat that Jimbo Fisher has 29 players drafted in the NFL the last 3 or 4 years, which is the most ever. You see the success that Jameis Winston has had. You know, winning Rookie of the Year last night. I believe Ronald Darby has a Defensive Rookie of the Year, and that definitely trickles down and helps us in recruiting. You know.
Well, heck, you've got a National Football Award named after one of your wide receivers. So, yeah, I think the Biletnikoff, am I right? Yeah. So you've got all kinds of history as far as that goes, piling in recruits. Oh, man. I wish Georgia Tech had something like that.
Yeah. Maybe you guys can get like the Calvin Johnson something now that he's retired.
Well,
he was a Pittsburgh, right? Yeah.
Technically,
he was Georgia Tech.
No, Calvin Johnson was Georgia Tech. Technically, Heisman was Georgia Tech, but no one remembers that. So, and he was a coach. anyway. All right. That's a few more quick questions. The one that we ask all our guests, if you could compare FSU to a mixed drink, what would you compare it to?
Oh, my gosh. This is the one that kind of got me when you sent me the questions here. But I don't know. I mean, if you're like a freshman in college, I think you'd probably compare Florida State to like Natty Light or something like that. I think, you know, the best drink that it would be something like a sweet tea kind of vodka feel or some type of whiskey. I think the guys in the fraternity wouldn't deem it acceptable if I didn't mention that Jack and Coke would probably have to be our choice to drink during college. I know personally I'm more of a Captain guy, but if I had to label Florida State as a mixed drink, it would be some type of whiskey, maybe a bourbon or something of that sort.
I think I could see that. Something strong with a flavor to it. It's kind of, but at the same time, it's very respectable. People just like it. Yeah, I can understand that, where you're coming from.
Yeah.
One more thing we got. So we already kind of talked about it, but I'd like to hear what exactly your expectations are for FSU. Now that you know the recruiting class has been fantastic as always, you're basically looking at your question for who your quarterback will be, because you know Dalvin Cook will be outstanding. We're not 100% sure on the defense. But otherwise, you're looking at a schedule where you've got a few challenges in UF, possibly Ole Miss, and then Clemson. What are your expectations going into next year?
You know, I think I could probably give you a better answer after the spring game. You know, regardless of looking at what are what's, you know, who's going to start a quarterback, you're always going to be minimal. Our season would be a 10-2, tripping up somewhere like we did this year at Georgia Tech. You're welcome. And, you know, maybe tripping up against, yeah, Clemson's going to be a tough one. They have a, you know, Deshaun Watson coming back, and you know, you can't count that offense out. But I would expect us to be back and competing for the ACC championship, if not in Charlotte for the ACC championship, probably playing North Carolina, maybe Miami, Virginia Tech on that side.
Oh man, I couldn't talk you into making a playoff prediction. Oh, we're gonna win it all. Well.
Yeah, you know, it's certainly possible. I think if we're going to win it all, it won't be next season. It won't be the 2016-2017 season. But once upon a time, we did have a early enrollee or a redshirt freshman quarterback take us to the national title game and win it on his birthday. So I'm hoping Mr. Henry can come in redshirt this year and 2017-2018 could be a good year for us, especially with everyone being seniors. If Dalvin Cook's able to come back, that would even help in two seasons as well.
Well, I'm not going to ask you to jinx your team, but I think that's a fair prediction. Yeah, I don't see them. Yeah. I see them at least competing for an ACC championship. If they don't, I think it would mystify a lot of people. By the way, yeah, you didn't have to rag on Georgia Tech. We were the best 3-win team in the nation, I'll have you know. My gosh.
Triple option, man.
Anyway, we're going to wrap it up here. Eric, you got any call-outs and shout-outs you want to give?
Shout-out to my Seminole family, Ashley, Matt, and my mom. You know, Matt, bring it home. Finish your degree. Be a Seminole like the rest of us. Until then, guys, keep it real and go Noles.
All right. Go Noles, indeed. I feel embarrassed. I'll share something with our guests. This is actually a re-recording, but when I talked to Eric the first time, I forgot who the Native American tribe was that was sponsoring yeah. FSU.
Yeah, we are the Seminoles, believe it or not. We do represent the Seminole tribe.
It's like, gosh, I fully admit to my idiocy on that one. But yes, the Seminoles are a great team and a great tribe, and I wish them the best of luck next year. To all our listeners out there, thanks as always for listening. If you have any questions or comments or you'd like to hear your team featured, please shoot us an email at toemeatleather@gmail.com. Again, that is toemeatleather@gmail.com. Eric, thanks again for coming on. Hopefully you won't hear from me as soon next time, but it's always good to have you.
Sounds good, man. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good night, everybody. Bye-bye.